worship you, Jesus.
We love you, Lord.
Praise you, O God.
Magnify you, Father.
Worship you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Worship you, Jesus. Thank you.
Jesus.
Praise you. Robert, Harry, either one of you, I don't care. Worship you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We worship you for life in Christ. Praise you and thank you, Lord. You alone, Jesus, are holy. You alone are worthy, Lord. Your words, Lord. The leadership of the Holy Spirit. Words of perfection. Words of purity. You give the perfect blueprint, Holy Spirit. You give the perfect blueprint to how we should live, how we should talk, how we should walk. Thank you, Father. We are not orphans, but one just like Jesus abides in us, and he leads us to all truth. We give you praise for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated real quietly, please. Also. Been a lot going on this week in Immokalee with the deaths of three young men. You know, it's incredible how everybody all of a sudden they remember God in tragedies like this. And I hate to burst everybody's bubble, but not everybody that dies goes to heaven, my friends. Now, I don't know the state of those three boys. I don't know it. I knew them. I hadn't really embraced them in a long time. But everybody writes, rest in peace. My friends, if we die without Christ in our hearts, there is no resting in peace. But even if you die and know Christ, you don't rest in peace. You worship in peace. You don't rest in peace because you're forever with him. But don't ever believe everything everybody says about heaven. If you die without Jesus in your heart, you're condemned forever. There's a lot of confused people right now, a lot of students that are confused. But if you live a good life in Christ, a strong life in him, there's no need to walk in fear. If you're walking in fear, then there's some adjustments that you have to make in yourself. I'm here, this church is a different church. I'm here, my friend, to help you deepen your walk with Christ. I've faced death several times in my life, and I'm still standing. Stronger and hungrier for God than I've ever been in my life. I don't want to be the norm. I told the Lord today, if these kids can't feel nothing supernatural on Sunday nights, then I just need to quit. I don't want to walk in here laughing and carrying over with the things of the world. I want to come in here and present to you something powerful, not by words that I say, but by the Spirit of God that you can feel. I want that to be the difference maker. I don't want to just come in here at 1 till 7 o'clock and present to you words. I'd rather die than do that. I'd rather die than go home. I'd rather die and go home and encounter Jesus and come in here just for the sake of coming to church at 7 o'clock and presenting to you words that you don't feel. I'd rather die. I'd rather go home. Kiss my wife, kiss my kids, I'm going home. I don't want to be the average preacher. I don't want to be the normal Christian. I refuse to be. If I can't empty myself out of myself and get so full of God, then I don't want to live. I don't want to be the average, typical Christian with an average, typical slip-up just because it's part of life, not rather die. I mean that with all my heart. If I can't come in here and give you something, some good supernatural food from heaven, then I don't want to live. I don't want to do what I do. I mean that with all my heart. I don't. I don't want to. I don't want to. Pastor, mean that with all. I don't want to. If I can't come in here a couple hours before church and feel God so strong and give him to you, then I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I want to know that the words that I speak to you are seasoned with love and grace, and the Holy Spirit is so strong on me that you just say, my God, it's not what he said that convinced me, but I felt something when he spoke. I want to know that I walk in the authority of Jesus Christ to give you hope of the kingdom of God. So I'm here to help you tonight deepen your walk with God. In Psalm 63, where we left off last week, and I'm not going to keep you long. I believe God wants me to pray for a couple of you. The psalmist said, God, you are my God. He said, early will I seek thee. He said, God, you are my God. Early will I seek thee. Basically, he said, God, you are my God. Early in the morning will I spend time with you. Now, we're going to go. We're going to have a little time of teaching real quick for about a minute. He said, God, you are my God. Early will I seek thee. Did he write that because he wanted God to be his personal God? Or did he write that because God was his personal God already? God, you are my God. Early will I seek thee. God, you are my God. Early will I spend time with you. Did he say those words in Psalm 63 and 1 because he wanted God to be his God? Or because God was already his God? I can't hear you. God was his God. It was established already that the writer of Psalms, which was King David, had a relationship, a foundation with Jehovah God. He said, God, I'm here to help you, my friend. Deepen your walk with God. I'm here to help you, not to judge up. As I'm helped, as the Holy Spirit helps me, I am here to help you. He wrote, God, you are my God. Early in the morning will I seek thee. So he made a point to me and you, my friends, that God was already his God. But with most Christians, it starts and ends with that statement. Really and truly, there's a place of mercy and compassion that I have to reach with people, and I'm headed there. But I don't have the time to tell the same person over and over again on what to do about your walk with Christ. I neither have the energy or the time to tell you over and over and over again. Instead of you talking to me about 15 minutes about your problems, why don't you just pray in tongues for 15 minutes? Read the Bible for, I don't have the time. And I tell my wife, and don't you exhaust your efforts doing the same thing. There's nothing that I can tell you, my friends, outside of doing what we're taught to do that can help you with your walk with God. All I can tell you is to spend time with him. He said, God, you are my God. Listen to what he's saying. I'm here to help you strengthen your foundation with Jesus Christ. He said, God, you are my God. He made it known. He noted that God was his God. He said, before the sun comes up, he said, I will seek your face. He said, you are my God. Before anything, before the day starts, Lord, I'm going to seek your face. See, most Christians live and die as God being their God. The foundation is set. Jesus Christ, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. But it stops there. Sometimes you wonder if it even started in their life. We get born again. For the next 30, 40, 50 years, we stay in the same rut that we were the day we got born again. Why? It is so simple. And it took an Old Testament saint to tell me and you why we fell. He said, God, you are my God. Early will I seek thee. Listen to what he said. I'm not going to keep you long, I promise you. So I turn my Bible the right way. God, you are my God. Early will I seek. He said, my soul, listen to what he said now. He said, God, you are my God. Before the sun goes up in the morning, I'm going to seek your face. Listen to what he said. My soul is thirsty for you. My flesh, it longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Listen to what he said. He said, God, you are my God. Early will I seek thee. Basically saying everything inside of me is thirsty for you. Every ounce of me is thirsty for you. He said, in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Basically, he concluded that, God, you are my God. Early will I seek thee. Everything in me wants to know you. You're my God. I have a status that you're my God. Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. Something within me is crying out for more of you. I've concluded that the things in this world, they can't quench my thirst. They can't give me what I need. He said, in this dry and weary land where there is no water, nothing can fulfill the hunger and the thirst that I have for you. Nothing in the world can. I've concluded that, God, you are my God. I want to deepen my relationship with you, oh Father. I want to deepen my relationship with you, Jesus. I want to deepen it. Something within me is crying out day and night, and all it wants is you, because what society has and what it doesn't have, it can't fulfill my need for you, Jesus. It can't. Nothing in this world can give me what I need in my heart and in my spirit to know you in an intimate, intimate manner. Unfortunately, every Christian that's born again sort of knows that society, the things in the world can do nothing for you. But the majority in the body of Christ have that understanding, but do absolutely nothing about it. They know that without this, without going to the Holy Spirit, they're going to be miserable the rest of their life. Yet very few in the corporate body of Christ refresh themselves on a continual basis in the presence of the Almighty God. He said, God, you are my God. This is why there's failure in the body of Christ. This is why nobody wants what we say we have. He said, God, you are my God. Early will I seek thee. He said, everything within me, Lord, cries out to you. There's a place inside of me, Lord, that it must be filled. There's a hunger and a thirst inside of my soul, my mind, my will, my intellect, and my emotion to a born-again Christian. It's everything inside of me, Lord, wants you. I conclude, Lord, that I want you. I conclude that you are my God, but I conclude that without that times of intimacy with you, Lord, I'll never know you to the fullest. He said, I'm thirsty for you, Lord, but society, there's nothing in this world that can quench my desire and my thirst and my hunger for you, Lord. I want to deepen this relationship, Lord. I want to take this relationship one step further than you just being my God. I want to experience you as my God. I just don't want you to be my God. I want to know you as my Father. I want to know you as my Redeemer, as my salvation. I want to know you as my best friend, Lord. But very few in the corporate body of Christ come to that place in God where they kick out all their selfish ambition. And Satan will do all that he can to get you so preoccupied with things that aren't even significant. They seem significant. They seem important. But if you think about it, for David, he not only cried out saying, God, you are my God, early will I seek thee. I want to deepen my relationship with you, O God. I've established that you're Jehovah God. I've established that your law is the way that I live. As a born-again Christian, we establish that we belong to Jesus. We've established that we got to live according to the love, to the inward witness. We've established that. But he took it beyond a statement. He took it beyond thirst. He took it beyond hunger. He did something purposely as an Old Testament saint to satisfy the desire he had for the Almighty God. And it came from within him. He said, God, you are, listen to this. He said, God, listen to this, I beg you. He said, God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Listen to what he said. He's writing to me and you. He's writing about his personal life, his personal experience. God, you are my God. Before the sun comes up, I'm going to seek your face. Everything within me, God, it's thirsty. I want to rub shoulders with you, Lord. And by the way, God, I know this society. I know that no woman, no man, car, money, success can give me what my heart is crying out for. So he concluded that, God, you are my God. Early will I seek thee. Everything within me wants you. I conclude, God, that nothing in this world can satisfy what I want from you. So he took it one step further. He said, so according to what I just said in verses 1, 2, and 3, I just said that you are my God. I just said that I want to seek you early in the morning. I just said that everything within me longs for you, Lord. Then I said that I long for you, and I conclude that nothing in this world can give me and bring me the satisfaction that I want from my heart to know you on a personal level. So he took it one step further. He was not your typical believer. I hear so many people telling me I'm going to start doing this, and that's good. That's good. I'm happy for you. But that lets me know that you never really started. Don't tell me you're going to start. Just do it, man. Your peace is at stake. Your peace is at stake. He said, according to the words that he stated in 63, God, you are my God, and I'm almost there, and I'm almost done, and I'm going to pray for someone. You, God, you are my God. Listen to me. Put yourself there through imagery. He said, God, you are my God. Early will I seek thee. Everything within me wants you. But I conclude, Lord, that society can't give me what I need, so there's something that he did purposely to fulfill the thirst and the hunger that he had inside of himself. Most Christians acknowledge God as God. They do because they're Christians. And they know that outside of embracing him, there is no peace. Then what is it in them that they still don't embrace him? Circumstances. Light bills. Self-pity. Depression. Oppression, trials, tribulations, giants in the land. Older that I'm getting in God, the more mature that I'm getting in God, it's not as fast as I wanted. There's giants in the land, my friends. But the closer and stronger we get, the more we rub shoulders with Jesus Christ, you don't even know the giants are there. All you can see is five rocks in the brook. I don't know if you know what that means. You don't see the giants. You don't see those big obstacles in your life, but you do see the five rocks in the brook in which you slay the enemy with. You'd have told me, the doctor would have told me 5 years ago that I was dying. Oh, my God. But I looked at him when he said, there's not a pill made that can save you, sir. I wish I could have a tablet that could help you. Doctor, are you telling me I'm going to die? Well, yes, but it's going to be a painful death because you're just not going to die. Kidney infection is a very serious thing. So, well, doctor, you are right. I am going to die. But we all got to die someday. You're going to die one day, too. Because I take it you're a prophet, sir. You're right. Your analysis is correct, sir. I see you're a college graduate. But I'm not, and we're all going to die one day. But I ain't going to die of diabetes. Let me die a martyr. Let me die in my sleep. Let me die choking on a Whopper. But I ain't going to die of diabetes. Let me choke on a double Whopper. Let me go home like that, but not a kidney failure. Let me die on some Chinese food or something. Let me choke on that, but no. But there's something that this gentleman did on purpose, where it deepened his walk with God the Father. And I'm not here. I'm really here to make you mad at me tonight a little bit. Hopefully it works in a good way. Aren't you tired of the norm? Aren't you tired of the same obstacle every single week consuming you? Aren't you tired of it? The same failures week in and week out. The same things that beset you that did 3 years ago. There's got to be a point of action, a point of love in our life where we recognize that obviously what we're doing is not giving us the daily refreshing that we need. He said, God, you are my God. He said, early will I seek you. That word seek means to gaze upon or to contemplate with pleasure or to have a vision of God the Father. He said, early will I seek you. I, the one that call you my God, I will purposely seek you in the morning, Lord. Everything within me cries out to you, Holy Father. This world, the world system, what the world has, what it doesn't have, it can't give me what I want. But what I want in you, something cries out from my heart, Lord, every single day to receive the refreshing that I need from you. He said, So according to the three things that I stated before, so there's something that I can do, Holy Father, to give me what I need to fill me with abundance, to fill me, to recognize and to know all that you are, Father. There's something that I can purposely do as a believer in Jehovah God, Old Testament, as a believer in Jesus Christ, born again, Holy Ghost, still believer. There's something that I can do purposely anytime that I want to, Lord, to fulfill the desire and the thirst and the hunger that I have for you, Lord, because I know for sure, Lord, it's not found in this world. It's not found in this world system, and it's not found in money. And the guy that wrote this had plenty of money. Plenty of it. That wasn't enough. He had a castle. He was filthy rich. He could have had beautiful wives. He did. That was one of his failures. Everything was accessible to him, but it was not enough. But there's one thing that he knew that he could do to fulfill his desire to an extent of who God was. And listen to what he said. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. He said, God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. Everything within me cries out for you, Lord. I'm hungry for you, Jesus. I'm hungry for you, Jesus. I'm born again. You are my God, Father, through Jesus. Something's crying out from within me, Lord. Something's crying out daily within me to experience you, Lord. I know that society can't embrace me, can't give me what my spirit's crying out for. He says, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary. That word sanctuary is a word sacred place, not secret place, like I said last week. It's a sacred place. What he did is he felt something cry out inside of him as believers, as born again, Holy Ghost filled believers. Something cries out from inside of you daily to spend time with Jesus. Yes or no? Yes or yes, it does, right? You know. Now, sometimes you go with it and sometimes you what? You don't. Have you been there before? Yep. Ask Pastor Brown if he's been there before. He'll say, yep. Renee said, yep. I can say that. But there's something he said that he did purposely, Jasmine. He said, so I. He didn't say you. He said, I. The one that has this hunger for you. I, Alex Genty, I, Ashton, I, Sandy, I have this hunger for you, Lord. So I obey the hunger and the thirst, this passion for you that's crying out of my heart. There's something crying out from inside of me, Lord, to feel your embrace, to know you, Jesus. And when I hug my little grandson there, it's like if you give me $1 million, I just hold him in my hand and I just want to kiss him over and over again. That's Quinn's baby. I just want to kiss him over and over again. I want to squeeze the life out of him, but I can't because I'll go to prison. I just want to kiss him in the cheeks and, you know, just want to kiss him in the cheeks and he ain't got no neck either. I just want to. David said, God, there's something crying out inside. Lord, I just want to squeeze your cheeks. He said, Lord, I want to tussle with you, church. Lord, I want to feel you today. I want to feel you today. He says, so, Lord, I have looked for you in the sanctuary, in the sacred place of my heart that's crying out to you, Lord. Something cried out within me, Lord, and I went with what cried out to encounter you today, Lord. And I spent that quiet time with you to feel all that you were, Lord, and all that you are, and all that you're going to be. He knowed it. Society can give you nothing. It can't give you nothing but a heartache, a heartbreak. But he said, Lord, something cries out within me daily. And I go and I give myself to the part of me that cries out to you daily. If you could only grasp that, my friends. To experience all that God is not in a thought. It's not. I'm trying to see if I can say this. I can't, so I'm not. It's not found anywhere else but in a sacred place that cries up from within your heart. Will you embrace Jesus Christ through worship, through intimacy, through prayer in the Spirit, to reading your word, a quiet time, feeling all that you are, feeling all that he is, downloading it inside of you as you transform your mind, as you edify your spirit, and as you feel the embrace of this one man named Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, all that I'm looking for, Lord, I can't find it in the natural. So I look for you in the sanctuary, in the sacred place of my heart to encounter all that you are. There's something he had to do purposely. He went, basically he said this, and I'm done in about 3 minutes. Above success, above money, above women, above my wife, Lord, above my kids, I answer what my heart so asked me to do. Something within me, Lord, is crying out so much to know you. My God, you are my God. So I give myself over because I know who you are. You are my God. So I give myself over as often as I can to you, Jesus. Give myself over to you to encounter all that you are. That's where the victory is at, my friend. That's where the peace is. And that's what I believe you want. But you fight yourself. You fight obstacles. You fight things that seem to be important that aren't really, in comparison to what Jesus Christ can bring to you. He is the fulfillment of all that you could ever want. I can't be a better father lest I know him more. I can't be a better husband lest I know him more. I don't even desire to be a good preacher, but I do want to preach out of a lifestyle. That's what I do want. I want to preach and present to you a gospel of Jesus Christ based on a lifestyle, not based on words that I know here. I want to see you grow with me. There's a place in God, my friends, that you're going to have to find yourself. You can't sit there the rest of your life thinking about it, thinking about God, but there has to be an action point, a spiritual action point in your life where you conclude that come hell or high water, me and you will tussle today, Jesus. Like my little boy says to my 8-year-old boy, hey, Chubbs, you ready to tussle? In other words, he wants to wrestle every day. We wrestled last night again. Me and him against Nathaniel and Elijah, we lost. Here we are, 11 to 12 o'clock at night. We're tussling and wrestling in the room. He told me today, hey, Dad, we need a plan. I said, why? Because Elijah and Nathaniel, they beat us up yesterday, Dad. This is what I want you to do. Call them in the room. I'm going to hide in the closet. And you hide in the bathroom. And we're going to cut the light off. And when they come in, we're going to jump them, Dad. I said, okay, son, you got Elijah, I got Nathaniel. But every single night, see, it's not the wrestling. And sometimes Elijah wants to hit him like a grown man. We make him cry and, you know, noogies, wedgies, pinch in the booty. We do everything. There's no, we wrestle by Mexican rules, which means no rules at all. We want to throw a chair, we'll throw a chair at each other. We want to do a figure four or arm bar, we'll do whatever it takes. But we lost. See, but it's not the wrestling that we like. It's the embrace from each other as a family. My little boy got sick. I had to take him to the hospital the other day. It was so weird. Not weird, forgive me, Lord. You're worthy. He was spitting out blood from his mouth. Spitting out blood. I mean, blood was coming out of his mouth, and he had a real bad migraine. The nurse said, you got to take him to the doctor, else we won't let him back into school, so I had to take him. But, when I heard he was spitting out blood, it sort of worries you a little bit, you know, as a dad. But I prayed for him, and I took him over there, and I kept him awake the whole time as we went to the hospital, and they said he had a flu. Didn't sound right, but then I thought about it. Wait a minute. You just text your pastor. He prayed for him. You prayed for him. What's so weird about that? This man named Jesus Christ that I serve, he healed him. But I always tell him, and these words, they comfort him. Because he's scared of the dark. I say, what does Daddy always tell you, son? That you always protect me? That's right. Right, Dad? Freddy Krueger can't beat you up? I said, what are you doing watching Freddy Krueger? I said, no, Freddy Krueger can't beat me up, son. Right, Dad? Jesus can beat up the devil? Yes. I can beat up the devil too, son. Right, Dad? You can beat everybody up? Yes, son. Yes. Yes, I can. I love you, Dad. He says to me, Dad, can I quit school? I said, David, when you turn 18, son, listen to this. And he didn't know any better. When you turn 18, Daddy will let you quit school. Oh, thanks, Dad. You're the best. When he's 18, he'll be done graduating. But he was so happy. He said, oh, I can't wait till I turn 18, Dad, because I'm going to quit school. Yes, sir. When you're 18, you can quit school, son. Dad, because school's for losers. He's different. But he likes to feel the embrace of his daddy. So does Big Boy and so does Nathaniel. And Judy just likes watching us wrestle because it's comical. Pillows flying everywhere. Jabs flying everywhere. Kicks, yells, screams. And I enjoy it. I enjoy it. How much more do you think not think that Jesus Christ will enjoy you coming to him on a nightly, on a continual, on a habitual basis? Not only will he enjoy it, but he'll fill you with all of what heaven is. He'll fill you with all that he is. The peace, the joy, all that he is. He wants to transform it all to you if you just take that step, my friends, and come to the realization that this world system, the things in this world, prosperity, nor male nor female, nothing in this world can give you what your spirit man is crying out for. The only person that can fulfill all that you really, really need is this one man named Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. He'll tell me tonight, you ready, Chubbs? You ready to tussle? No, it's too bad, Chubbs. We're going to tussle anyway. Go home tonight. Say these words, these childish words that an 8-year-old boy made up. He calls himself Dangerous Dave or Crazy Dave. Think about it tonight when you're sitting there tired in bed and something in you wants to spend time with Jesus. Just those words will do something to you. They do to me. Hey, Jesus, you want to tussle? He'll never tell you no. Hey, Jesus, I want to feel your embrace. I want to fall down on my knees and tell you tonight how much I love you. Try it, my friends. You'd be surprised at the outcome. You'll be surprised that you'll know him in an intimate manner. Don't live out your life in Christ knowing that this world can give you nothing, yet you let the world give you everything because you lack the commitment to spend time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And on a side note, right now, you might have to pray in a legalistic manner. You might have to right now till you come to the place where you absolutely enjoy it. Till you come to the place where you know you need a glass of water every day. There'll be a place that you can find in God where it'll just be like drinking 2 or 3 glasses of water. My body is already trained already, not forcefully, not like a robot where I'll get home, I'll go to my chair, and I'll just sit there and I'll begin. Before dinner, my body is already trained that after I play with the kid tonight, watch a little TV, spend time with my wife, my body is already trained where I'll go to my chair, not because I have to, but because I want to spend time with Jesus Christ. My body is already trained. My heart's desire is already there where early in the morning, I sit down at my chair and I spend time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not because I have to, but because I want to, because I know what he can bring to the table. My friends, I'm telling you, that place is there for you, just waiting for you. There is no failure in that sacred place. There is no failure. So come with me, my friends, on this journey of finding all that Jesus Christ is. The devil's out there and he's for real, my friends. There's 3 young men that aren't with us anymore because the devil is for real. I pray over my kids continually. Continually, because I know Satan would like nothing more than to take the lives of my children. I pray over them on a continual basis. Over my daughter that's expecting, over my, I got two, my six grandkids. I cry out, I cry out their names before heaven. Over my kids, over Elijah, over Quentin, over Julie. I pray for Jasmine. I pray for my wife. Pray for them. I pray that, and I come against any assignment of the enemy, any demonic power that wants to destroy my family and take them home before they are to go home. I come against that in the name of Jesus Christ. I say that all my sons, my daughters, my granddaughters, my grandsons, I say they're all choice virgins before the Lord. I don't care if they fall, and that's still my confession. I pray that when they get married, it's forever. I pray that they find godly girlfriends and find godly boys. That's my prayer. I pray and I thank God that my sons are a prince. A prince is a young man that's in training to be a king. I pray that my daughters and my granddaughters are queens, a queen, a princess. A princess is a lady one day that will be a queen in training. I pray that my wife be the queen that trains the princesses. I pray that I'm the king that trains the prince on how to be a king one day, a godly king, a godly queen in the kingdom of the Almighty God. That's my prayer. I pray that my son grow up to be a God-fearing man. More than anything, I pray that I don't lead them with my words, but by my actions in Christ Jesus. See, because words are a dime a dozen. Anybody can minister words. People say, well, we don't tell the world about Jesus enough. Actually, we've been telling the world about Jesus forever. But our actions don't back up what we tell. That's why the world wants nothing to do with the God that we say we serve. But that's going to change. Because your desire is ripe and it's ready. Remember the words of my little 8-year-old, Miss Ashton. Hey, Dad, hey, Chubbs. You want to tussle? As you go home tonight and as you lay down in your bed, basically David wrote Psalm 63. In my personal opinion, it was in the wilderness. He said, I will remember you on my bed and meditate on you in the night watches. I personally believe, and it doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong, that he was laying on a cot, laying on his back, looking up at the beauty of heaven and adoring Jehovah God. Let your bed be that sacred place tonight where you cry out to the living God. Or under a tree or wherever it's at, make God your personal God. Make Jesus your personal Jesus. Not just Jesus. Know him in an intimate manner. And you will never, ever be the same. I'm here to help you. Not to get on to you, but to help you. Through the leadership of the Holy Spirit and by the instruction of the only perfect book on the face of this earth. There is none other than this book. My own personal conviction, my own. This is the only book that I embrace. Now, my pastor asked me to go home and read the certain book. I will, out of respect to him. But if he doesn't ask me, I ain't reading. There's another book. That's one of the best books that I never read. I haven't read it, but I've read it. Because I know the teachings that are in there. That's Pastor Day's book, The Walk in the Spirit. But it don't compare to this. Gorgeous. Beautiful. Entertain it. Take the dust off of it. Embrace it. And you will never, ever be the same. Amen. Psalms 18. pure than the purest of gold, holy and undefiled. Psalms 119, this word is settled in heaven. Psalms 119, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. New Testament interpretation, great peace have they that love the love of God from within, and nothing will cause them to fall if they keep the commandments from within, keeping the inner witness. It's all before you, friends. You just got to take it and run with it. My grandson wants to go home already. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, I bless you. I praise you now. You're in here tonight, my friends. If some of you are here tonight, and it won't take me long, I'm not going to pray over you. I just want to lay my hands on you. If you're here tonight and this fear of death and what's happened has traumatized you and scared you a little bit, I believe there's some emotional battles in here tonight, some abuse in the home, some mental abuse, maybe even some physical abuse. Whatever you come in here tonight, whatever you come in here tonight needing, whatever, this is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Whatever you come in here tonight needing, whether you're feeling depressed, whether you feel like you don't want to live no more, I don't want to know. I just want to pray for you tonight. You're feeling that life means nothing anymore. You're feeling like you can't make it anymore, like nobody gives a darn about you. Oh, my friends, you're wrong. I care. And more than me caring, Jesus cares. So whatever you're going through tonight, whatever need you may be, I believe that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth tonight, there'll be a tremendous healing emotionally, physically, a mental healing in your body tonight as I lay my hands on you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I'm not going to ask you a question. I'm going to pray a little bit right now. Then I'm going to lay my hands on your Father right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray and we come against any spirit, any infirmity, Father, right now, any emotional distress, Father. We come against it right now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Any assignment of the enemy, Father, we call it broken right now in Jesus' name. Turmoil, heartbreak, we command that heart to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father. We come against physical abuse. We come against mental abuse. We come against lack of love in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And tonight, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we proclaim that healing, that heavenly healing that only comes by your name, Jesus. I thank you, Father, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Lord. It's manifest to declare all the works of your majesty. So I praise you, Jesus. I praise you and I thank you, O God. Praise you and thank you, O God. We're sons of the kingdom. We have an inheritance and we celebrate that inheritance. We celebrate our heritage, Lord, in you. And I thank you, Father, that it's your will that every single need be met tonight in the name of Jesus. So if that's you tonight, I want to keep you long tonight. I just want to lay my hands on you tonight. If that's you tonight, get up out of your chair. Don't say a word. Line up right here. You don't have to say nothing. Just stand there and let me pray for you tonight. You take that step of faith and you come up here. So right now, the altars are open for you. I know there's a few of you. I know that for a fact. I know that in Christ. So come on up, my friends. Don't be embarrassed. Worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you. Don't be embarrassed. I worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. There's a couple of more of you. A couple more of you. Worship you, Jesus. I'm going to wait for you, my friends, because it's you. I know you're out there. Don't be embarrassed. Let Jesus begin something so mighty in you. I'll wait for you a few more minutes, and then we're going to go on. Young man, he's calling you. He's calling you by name. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We thank you for all that you are. We thank you for the word that you've begun in these young people, Lord. May their heart's desire, Lord, be tonight to spend time with you, Lord. Out of that place from within that's crying out for you, Lord, may they answer the call and desire you more than life itself.